Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
141-951-1025. It's time to talk football. It's Clyde One Super Scoreboard.
Good evening and welcome to Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Another day, another disciplinary update as Alan Power and Paul McGinn escape further punishment after weekend flashpoints. Celtic head to Hibs and Rangers, or Killy head to Aberdeen in the Scottish Cup quarter-final. And Oliver Burke's pace can trouble Valencia, according to his captain. I'm Gordon Duncan. Joining me tonight is Gordon DL and Roger Hannah.
And I don't think we've heard the end of the words compliance officer this evening, Gordon. Claire White dominated the agenda at the end of last week, going after Alan McGregor and others, punishing Alfredo Morelos. But this time, I think the lack of activity for both Alan Power and Paul McGinn casts further doubts over the suitability of the SFA disciplinary procedures.
Gordon Dale on the pitch. We've got a lot to look forward to. That quarter-final draw made last night after we went off air. So the couple of big ties that jump out are Aberdeen against Kilmarnock or Rangers, Hibs against Celtic. You've got Partick Thistle Hearts and Dundee United against Ross County or Inverness.
Yeah, a bit of excitement, Gordon. Obviously the big twos, you call them, Celtic and Rangers, both drawn away. That's if Rangers get past Kilmarnock next Wednesday night at Ibrox. So that would be another cracking game up at Pittodrie. Whether it is Rangers or Kilmarnock doesn't matter. I still think it'll be a very good game. Celtic go to Easter Road, where obviously they've lost before. The one that I look at there that's got a great chance of getting the semi-final is Dundee United. I watched him on Saturday, and I've got to say, very impressed with the signings. And they look a very strong squad, Gordon. So they might fancy their chances to, you know, if they can keep away. Usually you look at the draw, if you can keep away from the Celtics and Rangers, you would fancy your chance against them, Dales.
So we're looking for your reaction to that Scottish Cup draw, your reaction to the news that Alan Power and Paul McGinn will not face further punishment after those weekend flashpoints. And finally, after the sad passing of legendary goalkeeper Gordon Banks, a man who arguably pulled off the greatest save of all time, we're asking you for the best save you've ever seen. That's something that can just keep us going, ticking along on Twitter and on the phones at Clyde SSB. 01419511025. We do this quite a lot. We just a wee topic to take us away from the run of the mill. Anything that springs to mind, Gordon, the greatest save you've ever seen?
Well, first and foremost, I was very fortunate that I played golf with Gordon Banks about 5 years ago down in Stoke. And I've got to say, a lovely, lovely guy. He really was. I did beat him that day because I was on for him. But no, the best save for me, I think, goes down to Theo Snelders. He saved a penalty kick, the only penalty kick I've ever missed. I put it right into the top corner.
All about him.
And how he got to that, to this day, I still don't know, Roger. I actually applauded him for it. What a save.
Was that the golf trip you went to Stoke and you came back with a mysterious black eye? And
yeah, it was.
The full story didn't really come out
story,
as to what happened.
It will never come out. Only me and Gordon will know that.
Roger Hannah, greatest save, anything that springs
first
to mind?
First of all, condolences to the family and friends of Gordon Banks, a terrific goalkeeper for club, many clubs and country. The one that actually springs to mind for me is one of Gordon Banks' successors as England goalkeeper, Peter Shilton, because I saw it again just the other week in a documentary about Brian Clough's Nottingham Forest. I think when Forest won the old English First Division, clinched it maybe at Coventry City, and he made a fantastic save from a striker called Mick Ferguson near the end of the game. Not dissimilar actually to the Gordon Banks save from Pelly in the World Cup final. YouTube it, you'll see it, a terrific stop.
There we go. So the best save you've ever seen in light of the sad passing of Gordon Banks. Scottish Cup reaction, disciplinary reaction. I feel that's just a regular feature on the show. We're going to need to do a set some time aside every night for that. And of course, we start looking ahead to Celtic against Valencia as well. 0141 951 1025. And the phone's Twitter is at Clyde SSB. Let's just see if any of the early Shouts for your greatest saves have come in to keep us ticking along. Not quite yet. So at Clyde SSB, best save you've ever seen. The more obscure the better, because I always like to find out about incidents that we don't quite know about. So there we go, get them in. Roger, we're about to take some calls. I would imagine you can't second guess all the time, but the disciplinary procedure is back in the spotlight again. On one hand, you've got a lot of people going, oh no, not again, referees, come on, do we need to... But on the other, it keeps happening, and tomorrow Alan McGregor will have his hearing and it'll be big news again, and it's kind of hard to escape.
The only word for it is inconsistency. Now, if the compliance officer was consistent in her dealings with these incidents, then no one would complain. I said in the show on Saturday, I thought she was quite right to go after Alan McGregor. I thought she was quite right to go after Darnell Johnson of Hibs for that foul on Emilio Aguirre. He has today landed a 2-game suspension for that challenge at Celtic Park last midweek. I have to say, I didn't doubt for 1 minute, in light of those, that Alan Power and Paul McGinn would both be handed notices of complaint today. And the fact that neither of them have, after weekend incidents, where I think everyone, certainly everyone I spoke to, you listen to TV, the radio, pundits, everyone at the game felt those two players at two different games, Daz was at St Mirren at the weekend, felt those two players would be done. And the fact that neither of them have been done, just a few days after the likes of McGregor and Johnson and others have been done, it just leaves the SFA and Claire White open to ridicule.
Here's the bit that is really annoying everyone, Roger, because if the ref, I can't believe I'm having to say this again, if the referee sees it in full, which we can assume, you can read between the lines here, if Willie Collum saw that in full at St Mirren at the weekend, and Alan Muir saw Alan Powers in full, Claire White cannot take that any further.
Well,
so what does that say about the referees?
If they saw those incidents in full and are happy with their decisions, then I'll take back what I said about Claire White and ridicule, and I'll say the two referees are ridiculous, because those would be ridiculous decisions. Cammy Smith, who was in the wrong end of the challenge from Paul McGinn, likened it to a WWE wrestling move. So that tells you what he thought about it. Even Oran Kearney, speaking yesterday, the St Mirren manager, said he couldn't really have complained had Paul McGinn been done by the compliance officer. That's the St Mirren manager talking. The same goes with Alan Power. Stephen Gerrard chose his words very carefully when Alison Conroy spoke to him at Rugby Park on Saturday night. He will be smarting, having seen his own goalkeeper cited for for raising his foot. What was that, 6 inches, 8 inches off the ground? Alan Power's foot was 5.5 feet off the ground, and he hasn't been cited. So the whole process is fundamentally flawed.
You were at St Mirren at the weekend, Gordon. Surprised?
Amazed, I've got to say. When I watched it, and I wasn't too far away from it, Gordon, my initial thoughts were straight red card. And then when I watched it again on TV, and I've looked at the position of Willie Collum, and he's only 5-6 yards away from it. He's got a perfect sight of it. And I don't know how Willie can say that's only a yellow card, because even everybody looked at each other in the press box, if they say there's a red card coming here, that's it, that's the end for St Mirren. And he got away with one, and I'm astonished that he's got away with this.
0141 951 1025. Gordon is a Rangers fan in Helensburgh. Hi, Gordon.
Hi there. I would like to ask the panel if they could tell me when the last time Celtic player has been cited and received a ban off the compliance officer.
Well, this is you know well, Gordon, this is the thing that's doing the rounds and all of the Rangers message boards and all the supporters' sites, at how many Rangers players have been cited, how many Celtic players have been cited, how many Aberdeen, Kelly, Hearts, Hibs. I believe, and you'll probably have the statistics at your fingertips here, Gordon, more Rangers players have been cited than any other club, and fewer Celtic players have been cited than any other top flight club. Now, is that coincidence?
You're not answering my question, Roger. I'm asking you the last time.
Was it 2014, Gordon? You would need to remind me, Gordon. I suspect you know the answer to this question, Gordon.
Well, I've got a good idea. I think it was Glenn Louvins in 2009.
Yeah, I don't think the current system was in place. We didn't have a compliance officer back in 2009.
There was Bricker for diving.
Can you tell me the Celtic player in 2014 then?
There was Dirk Bricker for diving. I'm going off the top of my head. There was Alexander Tonev, obviously, for the racist incident as well. They're the only ones I can certainly remember, Gordon.
What ban did he get?
What was Tony Eves again?
Yeah, it was seven or eight games, I think.
Yeah. But it would have been a two game for diving, Gordon.
Okay, then, thanks a lot.
All right. Well, what do you make of the incidents at the weekend then, Gordon?
Well, nothing surprises me. Obviously, you'll see that I'm kind of biased, but going by your programme, I think slide the one way, you know. I don't think it's if you actually say the Rangers are the most one that's been taken, you know. I think the answer, look, nothing surprising with the referees, you know.
Well, listen, nothing surprises Gordon. The third one today, Roger, which is interesting because you're then left to compare it to the rest of them, if you like, is that Darnell Johnson's upgraded red from a yellow does stand. So he gets a two game ban. And this is where it all comes back to this notion: did the referee see it? Did the referee see it in full? And I can completely understand why that bit is driving people up the wall.
Yeah, well, I said in the show at the weekend, it didn't surprise me Darnell Johnson had been cited, because I thought it was a not very nice challenge in Izaguirre. I know Fraser Wishart spoke at length in the show on Saturday about how, in his role with the Players' Union, he doesn't want to see games re-refereed. He said it's not something that FIFA want, it's not something UEFA want, and it worried him that having picked up a yellow card, Johnson could then be done and have his card effectively upgraded. Having not been penalised, Alan McGregor could be retrospectively penalised. He didn't think this was a way Scottish football should be going. That's a perfectly fair opinion. The problem I have is the sheer inconsistency. If you're going to do McGregor and Johnson one week, how can you not do Power and McGinn the next week? It just...
But the answer is there. I'm not saying that everyone has to accept the answer, but you're not always comparing like for like, because the reason that you can do Alan McGregor is because the referee doesn't see it in full,
but
and
Gordon,
then you
Gordon,
cannot
Gordon, refer,
do...
referees aren't there to make the rules up. They're simply there to administer the rule.
Uh-huh.
Now, if the rule is you're not allowed to kick somebody, then, you know, I've no problem with referees looking again and doing Johnson and McGregor. But if you're doing that, then you have to do Power and you have to do McGinn. Now, if they didn't see it properly, they're only human. That's fair enough. If they didn't see it properly, they then need to look at the video and take the correct decision. There's no way you're telling me they've looked at this video and they can be content with the decisions it was taken.
Well, I don't think
they
get the chance to say whether they saw it in full. Mm-hmm. And if you read between the lines, that's what's happened with Willie Collum and with Alan Moore.
I have no doubt, looking at Willie Collum's position on Saturday, that he did see it in full. What my big amazement is, I can't believe he chose to give him a yellow card when everybody would probably agree, apart from Willie, it was a red card.
But so we've now had two incidents this season with Willie Collum at the Simple Digital Arena. One, Paul McGinn got a yellow card for that challenge in Cammy Smith. And two, Daniel Candeias was sent off for what happened at the end of the Rangers St Mirren game. Now, that frankly isn't good enough. That what is effectively a dangerous challenge, I can't quite, was it a clothesline challenge? Cammy Smith referred to it when speaking, you know, that was a dangerous challenge by Paul McGinn on Cammy Smith. Don't think anyone would say it was a dangerous challenge by Daniel Candeias on anyone at the end of the other game. But Candeias was sent off, received a ban. Paul McGinn was booked and will be able to play for St Mirren at Aberdeen at the weekend. Surely that's not good enough from Willie Collum. Surely there needs to be greater consistency, A, by the referee, and B, by the SFA when they look at it again.
And if you are the conspiracy theorist, Roger, I just love that this one's got multiple layers, because you could see, Alan Power getting away with it because it was against Rangers, or Alan Power getting away with it so that he can play against Celtic at the weekend. So there we go. You can make your own mind up on that.
Yeah, listen, our first caller, Gordon, was trying to get at that, these conspiracy theories that more Rangers players get done than Celtic players. And I don't buy into any of that. You have to look at each one, each case, individually on its merits. But there's far too many inconsistencies when you do look at these cases.
On Twitter, we were asking for the greatest ever save that you've seen in light of the sad passing of Gordon Banks. Some great replies coming in. These all start coming flooding back. Scott C says Alan McGregor's against Werder Bremen. Remember that one, Roger?
Yeah.
What a save that was. And loads of you, Craig Logan saying Andy Gorham against Pierre Van Hooijdonk. Yep. Yes, these are some. And I knew some of these would come up, but I like it. The more obscure, the better. 0141 951 1025 in the phones. Brian's also a Rangers fan in Lark Hall. Hi, Brian.
Hi, panel.
Hi, Brian.
Okay, can I just say, my fellow Rangers fan, Gordon, he's not being biased. He's just looking for clarity and fairness. And obviously, this system has neither at this moment. It's failing the game completely. If you look at the two channels, I've seen both in television, and both McGinn and Poer should be sent off. It's as simple as that. And then looking at it and then deciding that both yellow cards stand is just ludicrous. Also, the two challenges in the Celtic Hibs game last week, the Scott Brown challenge was borderline. I could see why maybe a yellow card was given there, but it wasn't put out to the compliance officer, so you couldn't really look at it again. The challenge by Simonovic was a clear, dangerous challenge, and it should have been a red card. It's obviously not working.
I mentioned that one in the show on Saturday, Brian. I said the compliance officer probably got it right, prosecuting McGregor and Darnell Johnson. And I said the one I thought got off lightly was Jozo Stojmenović, because you can tell after he's clattered into Ollie Shawhey, is that we look back as if to say, oh, is he okay? Oh, am I getting done here? So I think he was fortunate. I don't buy into any of the conspiracy theories, but if you're talking clarity, if you're talking transparency, I'm afraid the SFA disciplinary system's the wrong place to be looking, because none of us ever get any clarity or transparency from that. They won't come out today and explain any of the decisions or any of the process that led to these decisions, because it would just baffle us even more than the decisions themselves, I think.
The one thing that's ruining the game is you look at, I watched Dundee United put out St Mirren the Cup, and the first thing Robbie Nielsen talks about, not his performances, team, they were excellent, not the victory, it was about, I'm going to phone John Fleming tonight. It was the first thing he came out with. I want to phone John Fleming tonight. And that's where our game's at now, because we don't know where we're going with it. We need to look at the rules and see if we can adjust them to help everybody involved.
Would it help if at least, Roger, that the process was explained a bit more transparent? Yeah. Because like we've been over this a number of times this season, so you know what can happen. This is a bit of a refresher. If the referee didn't see it, or he didn't see all of it, it can then be taken. It's passed over to that three-man, I'm just trying to stay with me if you don't mind. It then goes to that three-man panel of ex-referees who unanimously agree if it goes on to the next stage. These ones today, Alan Power and Paul McGinn, didn't even get to that stage, because the referee can say that he saw it all at the time.
Gordon, we all understand, because we're now all experts in it, because we've had so many of these cases. They need to tell us at which part of this process
that it fell down.
It fell down. And at which part of the process are other ones prosecuted, if you like, for these
notices of complaint. Because the phrase you see today is insufficient evidence, and people keep saying, hold on a minute, it's on television, there are pictures of it everywhere, but that's not necessarily what it means. What that could mean is that the referee is asked, did you see it? Did you see it in full? And he did, and therefore it doesn't go any further, and that's where the problem is coming up time and time again.
But if that's the case, how on earth can the referees say that?
That's a very good question.
How on earth can the referees justify those decisions?
No idea.
Now, Robbie Nielsen, the fact that he came in, Daz, at your game on Saturday, and the first thing he said was talking to John Fleming, is because he actually feared for the safety of one of his players. You know, when that challenge goes in Cammy Smith, there must be a split second when you think, this boy's in bother here, because that really wasn't a very nice one. I'm sure the same thing went through Stephen Gerrard's mind momentarily when Alan Power clattered in to Ryan Jack later in the night. So if it did break down at that first stage, Gordon, and the referees saw the two incidents and thought, they're fine, let's just carry on,
then it's the refs who should take the criticism.
Then have a problem with either Willie Collum or Alan Muir, or both.
Final word to you, Brian.
Yes, I'm not a conspiracy theorist. I don't believe referees or systems are out to get any one club. I just don't believe it's, don't believe it's possible. I just think the system is broken and it's inept, and obviously I think they need to get back to the drawing board if they're going to continue with this. One other thing
quickly, Brian, we're a bit late for the travel.
Yeah, greatest save that I've ever seen was a goalie save against Van Hooijdonk in November 1995 against Celtic.
Yeah, a few people are saying that on Twitter. I suspect we'll get more calls on that line as well. Thank you to Brian in Larkhall. 0141 951 1025. Keep them coming. And we're going to hear from Scott Brown, looking ahead to Valencia after the travel with Amber.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Great results for Scottish accident and injury victims for 40 years.
It's Roger Hannah and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. We were asking for your reaction to today's disciplinary news, your reaction to the Scottish Cup draw, and of course we begin to look ahead to Celtic against Valencia. We also wanted to know your greatest ever save that you saw after the sad passing of Gordon Banks. Really great response to this on Twitter. Paul MacArthur says two that spring to mind, both from Artur Boric. One at Easter Road from David Witherspoon, it was destined for the net. The second one, a fingertip save from Seedorf, free kick at the San Siro in the Champions League.
And didn't Craig Gordon get an award for the greatest ever English Premier League
save? He did, didn't he?
When he was at Sunderland. Yeah. Was it one against Bolton?
I think you might be right.
That's one for producer Andy to look
absolutely
up for us.
Jamie Donnelly, another one, keeps saying McGregor, Werder Bremen. Mine, I was Craig Gordon actually, is mine. But he was Hearts goalkeeper against Motherwell. You're sitting right behind the goal, as the away fans are. I can't even remember who hit the volley. It was going in the top corner.
I don't remember. Who hit the volley for Motherwell? Daz, you'd be there.
Pettigrew. Yeah, I thought you were going to say that. And oh, what a save that was. So anyway, keep your best saves coming in. Gavin's got one. He's on the phone from Greenock. Hi, Gavin.
Hi there. How are you doing?
Not too bad. How are you?
Not too bad at all. It was just with regards to the best save I've ever seen, and it's got to be Andy Gorham for Van Hooydonk. I was at the game at the young boy 18 at the time. It was unbelievable. And I'm a Celtic man.
One that broke your heart, Gavin?
That was the one, aye. Unfortunately, aye. As the late, great Tommy Burns said.
That's it.
I'll put Andy Gorham's name in his gravestone. But aye, unbelievable save. As I've seen it, I've been at the game that day, and just how Gorham got it, I'll never know.
Remember that one well, Roger?
I do, and they're all coming back. I mean, I also remember a great one by Jim Leighton at Ibrox in a Scotland-Sweden qualifying game prior to France 98. It was a terrific save. Can't remember which one of the Swedish strikers it was. Scotland clung on for a 1-0 win with a John McGinley goal, and it was one of Jim Leighton's great performances, and that save was the sort of highlight of it. I can't believe, Daz, you haven't given your old pal Scott Thompson a mention, though, for that shootout save.
And take the glory away from myself. Absolutely no chance.
Even now, with that invitation, no, still not going to do it.
No, I'd have saved that. That was a terrible penalty kick.
Gavin, up to the present day, what about this week then, Valencia, in a couple of days' time?
Well, me and my youngest son will be going to the game on Thursday night. I just hope that our back four can stay solid enough, and then maybe try hitting the counter with the pace at Birkin Weir, hopefully.
Is that going to be the key, Gordon, tactically?
Yeah.
I mean, Celtic don't tend to sit in against teams, but...
Yeah, but well, especially with the pace that they've got with Burke. We went and started at the weekend, Gordon, and gave the centre-back of St Johnstone 10 yards of a start and beat him by about 20. I think that, I've said since day one, Celtic are a different team at home. They're terrific. They play very quick football. They've got great movement. McGregor makes everything tick. I think Celtic will fancy their chances on Thursday. I really do. And I think they will get a result.
Well, it was actually Gavin mentioned the pace there, so it's a good time to bring up thoughts of Scott Brown. He says they're looking forward to Valencia tie because of the good form they've been in. He thinks they do have the pace to cause the Spaniards problems, and says Oliver Burke is probably the quickest player he's ever played with.
Yeah, we know Thursday's going to be hard. They're going to come here and they're going to want to play as well. So, no, we're looking forward to it. I think for us, since we came back from Dubai in the winter break, and we've kind of kicked on, we've look sharper, we've looked fitter, so I think Dubai's definitely helped everyone.
You've played a lot of strikers, you've been here, but where does Oliver rank in terms of pace and power?
Pace and power, by far the quickest that I've played with at Leon. I think his ball to Scotty when we've managed to play it up, and Dedo's seen his run. I think maybe James has flipped on as well, and it's great to actually see that somebody can pretty much something from nothing. He manages to touch it down the line, beat the guy for pace, and he knows 9 times out of 10 he's going to beat people for pace, and Scotty's in the right place at the right time as well. People won't keep a high line because of that. The 3 forwards, we've got pace everywhere. Scotty, James, and Timo came on as well, so we've got pace all over the park now, and it scares people more than anything. And if people want to press the game, you've got that long pass in behind that Ollie, Scotty, James, Timo can take up, and they go straight on in the goal. And the way they're playing now, they're on great form, and you would fancy them to score goals.
by far the quickest he's played with up there. He says that. I mean, it's quite a statement. I wouldn't know for sure statistically. I don't have the data, Gordon, but he certainly looks like he can shift, as they say.
Oh, Sunday was incredible. Some of the times he just opened his legs up and away he went, and you're thinking there's absolutely no way you're catching him. He is, and the one thing in the modern day game now, Gordon, it's great to have pace in your team, especially in the front areas where defenders don't know whether to sit deep or try and push up, because anything in behind, they know they're going to be in serious, serious trouble. But his pace is frightening, I've got to say.
Quicker than you in your heyday?
No, I don't.
I thought you might say that.
Well, I was a whippet in my day, Gordon. quickest guy at Ibrox when I was 16. And there was a lot of quick players going about at that time. So, no, I think I would maybe 2-3 yards give him.
Never fails, honestly.
And it's not just, listen, you're right, Oliver Burke is very fast over the ground. It's the pace of Celtic's passing just now. It's the tempo they play in the opposition half that will really trouble Valencia. Valencia are a good team. I know they're only down, I think they're down 8th in La Liga just now, but they've only lost 4 of their 23 games in that league this season. So they're a difficult team to break down. They're a difficult team to beat. But Celtic at the minute, particularly as you say, Daz, at home, they're as good as they've been at any stage of the season for me.
Gavin, does this mean that in the space of a couple of weeks, Oliver Burke has gone from loan signing where fans are thinking, right, okay, not too sure, let's see if he can recapture his best form, to one of the key players against Valencia on Thursday?
Keeping honest with you, I never really thought he would be a bit part players. The boys get frightening pace. He's an athlete, he's an absolute unit, you know, and as I say, and I think he'll give their fullbacks a bit of a torrid time. And as I say, I fancy it Parkhead. But going over there, we certainly need to be, I think, be taking a 2-goal lead with.
That'll be a big ask, I'm sure. But thanks to Gavin in Greenock. A bit later on tonight, actually, we're going to get the inside track from the Valencia side of things, see how they're shaping up ahead of that tie. On the subject of greatest saves, David Ock says the Boric penalty save from Saha. He says the ball nearly landed back in Old Trafford. So there we go. Nice, that was a technical term. Keep them coming in. Alan Ruff from John Toshack at Anfield against Wales.
Yeah, remember that one.
77 to help send Scotland to Argentina. Tipped it onto the crossbar. Amazing, says Simon Houston. You will finally found one you remember.
Yeah, Ruffy's only save.
So you finally found one. Great.
Yes, a fantastic save it was.
These topics don't tend to work too well with you. You can't really remember what you had for breakfast, so we're asking you to pull out saves from here, there and everywhere. It was never going to end well. We finally found one.
Yep.
That Gordon DL remembers. So that's great. 01419511025. William's a Celtic fan in Craig End. Hi, William.
Good evening, guys. How you doing?
All good, thanks.
It's just about Valencia. I think I've been watching Valencia the last 4 or 5 games and the results they've been getting. And everybody, I think, in this country, when we see a Spanish side, I think we done it when Rangers played Villarreal. We thought, these teams are too good for us, you know. But I just think, especially the way Valencia play, they play a 4-4-2, which is surprising for a Spanish side. The best game I've watched them playing this season was obviously, they got a 2-each draw against Barcelona recently. But they were 1-0 down in the Copa del Rey against Getafe. And they came back and won 3-1 at their home ground. So I would look at that and say 1-0 is probably not enough to go over to Valencia to get through in the tie. So I would want Celtic to go earlier with at least 2 goals in front. I think there's a lot of people think that the Spanish league's maybe too much of a higher level than any Scottish side can compete against, but I don't think Valencia are at that level that you expect. I think that they're not the side that we played in 2001, that's for sure. That was a great night when we beat them 1-0. So I'm quietly confident. I just don't know. I don't know what the guys think. I think playing 4-4-2 gives Celtic a chance.
What about William mentioned, you know, having to go over there with a certain lead? This is another challenge when it gets to knockout competitions in Europe, Gordon. You've got the dynamic of, are you home first, are you away first? Celtic are obviously at home, so William puts a fairly simple case there that the away tie will be the most difficult one, and therefore you really need to get into that in a good position.
Yeah, I think the most important thing at home in the first leg is not to concede. Even if you go over there, I think, honestly, looking at Brendan Rodgers, I think he'd be delighted to go over there 1-0, because their away record's not been the greatest. We all know that, but they have got this new bit of pace in their team where they can sit in and then hit people on the counter attack, and they can punish them. The thing I liked about Burke the other day there was, I think it was Scott Sinclair's first goal after about 3 minutes. He goes through, and for me, I'm thinking, he's going to strike this, he's going to shoot. But he picks him out at the back post, and I think it was for his last one as well. It's a great, great bit of play from him, picks him out. So they're dangerous. I think because Celtic are playing so well just now at home, they've got clean sheets. I think the most important thing for them on Thursday night is to still have that clean sheet going over to Spain.
Yeah, and I don't think Celtic have lost a goal at home since Salzburg, 2 months ago. Ever since then, clean sheets all the way through at home. Clean sheets crucial. Now it's a home and away thing, and it's not any of these groups or anything, Gordon. I don't think 0-0 would be a disaster for Celtic, because with the pace they've got in the counter-attack, you would always fancy them to go away from home and score goals, even to somewhere like the Mestalla next Thursday night. So 0-0 wouldn't be a disaster. I tend to agree with William. I don't think this Valencia team's as good as the team that Celtic met in 2001. That was a team that was getting to Champions League finals around that era at that time. They're only 8th in La Liga this season. Celtic could probably take a bit of confidence from the way that Rangers played against Villarreal in those two draws in the group stages. You know, they didn't look outclassed by Villarreal really at any stage. So I don't expect there to be much between Celtic and Valencia over the two games. So therefore, if Celtic can get a clean sheet on Thursday, they're in a real chance.
By the time we come on air tomorrow, William, we'll have spoken to Brendan Rodgers, we'll have a bit of an injury update. If it were to be Johnny Hayes at left back, as was the case at the weekend, Brendan Rodgers says he would have no problem throwing him in if he has to. What are your thoughts on that?
I think that's definitely a worry, you know, because they're good in the wider areas, Valencia. So I think that's definitely a worry, playing a player out of position like that, even though he probably can fit in at that position. I think for the game on Saturday there, he got caught a couple of times ball watching, I think, and I think it's a danger that, you know, playing. I'm hoping that Tierney can make it. I know he could maybe get 60 minutes out of Tierney, but I'm hoping that Tierney can make it. And obviously Burke as well, when he went half injured at the weekend, I know I'm hoping that he's okay. I would be worried about that side of the park. I would, if Hayes was playing.
Well, I think if you're doing your homework, Valencia coach, he'll be looking at the strength and weaknesses of Celtic. That's what happens. And I would certainly be looking at Johnny Hayes. I thought Johnny Hayes had a good game against St Johnstone Sunday, but he wasn't really up against MD that was going to trouble him. I think it'll be different. He's not a natural left back. So I think that if Johnny Hayes has to be slotted in there, Gordon, I think that Valencia will certainly be looking to get down that side of the pitch.
Clyde One. The Cash Register. With wholesale domestic bathrooms Hillington and their fantastic winter sale in store and online.
Yes, we've had another winner on the Cash Register.
10,841.31.
That is how much money has gone in your bank account. You're a winner.
Yeah!
How delighted was Barry? Just like Gordon DL when he wins at Beat the Pundit, honestly. But no wonder, he's over 10 grand richer. And you could be next. We've started a brand new game in Clyde One's Cash Register with Wholesale Domestic Bathrooms Hillington. George will reveal the cash amount tomorrow morning at 8 a.m. on Bow 8 Breakfast. So make sure you're listening, make a note of the amount, and be ready to answer the phone within the five rings if Grant calls you after 3 p.m. across the Hits Network. To enter, text yes to 61025. £2 to play plus your standard message rate. The full T's and C's and online entry are on our website.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, and tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Give us a call if you want to get involved in the debate, or you can tweet at Clyde SSB. As well as all the day's big talking points, we've been asking for the best save you've ever seen after the sad passing of legendary goalkeeper Gordon Banks. It sort of is widely regarded as the greatest save of all time, the one from Pelé.
Yeah.
You go along with that?
Yeah, probably. Yeah. An incredible save.
Even when you see it now, you know, there's been a lot of footage of it today. It's quite something, isn't it?
It's how he gets it over that bar. Yeah. It's unbelievable. And he has to cover from one post to the other post
and
as well.
Part of it is because it's from Pele and because it's in the World Cup finals. And, you know, the whole thing just made it the greatest save ever, I think.
Duke is on. He says, two great saves in big games from David Seaman against Scotland from Daly in the Euro 2000 playoff and one against Sheffield United in an FA Cup final. Both top class, close range reaction saves. Thanks for that. That's easy for me to say.
That one from Gary McAllister with the help of Yuri Geller as well.
Oh, don't get me started on that. William says, Gregory Coupe, Leon double save against Barcelona in 2001. I did say that I wanted, you know, the more obscure the better. And if you're plucking out European saves from 18 years ago, I take my hat off to you, William. He says, Gorham as well. Couldn't believe how good it was. 01419511025. Some of the big news this afternoon is no further action to be taken on Alan Power or Paul McGinn after their flashpoints at the weekend. Jim is a Kilmarnock fan in Rothsay. What's your take on this as a Killy fan, Jim?
Hi, good evening, panel.
Hi, Jim.
The difference between McGregor and Alan Power was booked for his challenge. Alan McGregor he's been at it all season and is getting his just desserts at last. I don't know, mate, put 4 or 5 times this season. And I'm not happy about Gerard trying to get Power banned. As my mammy used to say, stop acting like a big Wayne and just go on with it. He likes to hear his gums pumping.
Did your manager, Steve Clark, not try to get Jermaine Defoe banned a few days before that, Jim?
No.
Yes, he did. Yes, he did.
Never mentioned Defoe.
He talked about the player that he thought had dived in the Rangers St Mirren game. Who was Jermaine Defoe?
Defoe's not been pulled up either. That's 2 weeks in a trot. He's been diving.
Well, look, the one against Kilmarnock, Jim, you don't get pulled up for a dive that doesn't work, if that makes sense. So Rangers didn't get a penalty, they didn't get the decision, so there is no mechanism there for Defoe to be punished. And I know you say Stevie Clark didn't name Defoe. You're right, he didn't. But that's what he
didn't
meant.
Name Alan Power either. He was answering a question by Alison Robbie about Alan Power.
Well, this is what we've got to hear.
Consistency and inconsistency, Gordon. I'm all for consistency. I don't mind if Steve Clark wants to call for Jermaine Defoe to be banned. That's fine. But then you've got to accept when Stephen Gerrard calls for Alan Power to be banned. You know, that is consistency. You can't pick and choose. That doesn't make any difference nowadays, Jim, because Darnell Johnson of Hibernian was booked for his foul on Emilio Izaguirre, and then today it's been looked at again and he's got a 2-game ban. That's the way it works nowadays.
Alan's Power's challenge wasn't meant.
But this nature of intent, Jim, isn't actually important in terms of the rules. The rules don't mention that. And also, Roger, we can all guess, we all have an idea, but there's only a certain number of people who know what is meant and what isn't. It's pretty tough for an observer.
And listen, Fraser Wishart made a couple of points about Alan McGregor challenge at the weekend on the show. How do we know it was meant? If you actually look at the incident, Alan McGregor isn't looking at Lewis Ferguson. He's collected the ball and he has raised his leg, and his leg has smashed into Lewis Ferguson. And if you want to say, you know, that is a foul and he should be prosecuted, that's fine by me. But nobody really knows what was going on in Alan McGregor's head.
Let's also not lose sight of the fact that the rule doesn't specify that you have to mean it. So I don't know why we're getting so bogged down in that.
100%, Gordon. 100%. So it's back to the consistency thing. If you want to do Johnson and McGregor, that's fine. But I think you also need to do Power and McGinn. Otherwise, you look foolish.
And where Jim is right, Gordon, I think most people would agree. I don't think many are saying that Alan Power meant it, because, you know, the ball's high and it kind of comes over his head, he sticks a leg up. I don't think people are saying that he meant it, but that's also not really the point.
Yeah, and in my opinion, that I thought that was the wrong. I thought he should have been sent off for that. I thought that he's very lucky to be yellow carded.
Was Sadio Mane not sent off in a Liverpool Man City game last season for something similar in Ederson?
Yeah. I thought the referee got that one wrong as well, Gordon.
Where this today's, Roger, and you talk about the consistency is the bit that blows this out the water. If we can separate our team allegiances from this, which I know is tough, today is actually a victory for those of us who don't want to see the game re-refereed, so to speak. There are people out there who just don't like it. Fraser Wishart was talking about it at the weekend. They don't want to see.
Absolutely. Now, Fraser and Hugh were sort of arguing about this at the weekend, and you can see both sides of the argument. Hugh's argument was, If it helps get the correct decision made, then re-referee it. Fraser's point was, FIFA don't want that to happen, UEFA don't want that to happen. It takes away the integrity of the match officials if you start re-refereeing all of these decisions. So you can see either side of the argument. But what we need to see, as I keep saying, is consistency. Mm. Because last week, it seemed that the SFA were quite happy to re-referee games. This week, they're not happy to re-referee games.
The referee sees it.
Where do you stand in that then? Who would you side up with in that argument?
I think it becomes quite dangerous if you start re-refereeing every single decision. Mm-hmm. Now, even Fraser conceded at the weekend that if it's something that, I think the phrases he used were, if it really endangers an opponent, if it could,
it's exceptional
break,
circumstances,
exceptional circumstances, mm-hmm. could break a player's leg, could smash his knee ligaments, mm-hmm. could cause him serious damage, Fraser at PFA Scotland is quite content for those exceptional ones to be prosecuted. Mm. I think you would include Darnell Johnson in that. There's a case for including Paul McGinn in that, yep. as well, though.
But the defence would be, Roger, that no one is trying to re-referee every decision, just the ones that the referee doesn't see.
Yeah, but the whole thing is mired in confusion.
I completely agree, but I'm just...
And inconsistency, and you know, I mean, you couldn't really stand and make an argument in light of what's happened on Friday and Thursday, for Power and McGinn not being done today. Now, you either do them all, or you don't do any of them, I would say. Or you come out and properly explain your decisions, because it's not good enough for the SFAs just to say, we're doing them, we're not doing them, without explaining why.
We like to find someone to blame. I think what we've realised, Roger, over the piece, if you take all of these incidents in the last couple of weeks, is that there are various weaknesses in the process here, yeah. which start with the referee. Because a couple of weeks ago it was all about refs. All we got were phone calls saying the referees are terrible, the standard's bad, we need professional refs, etc. In the last week it sort of shifted. You know, it's the system's a joke, Claire White is a joke, and that's the side of it that needs looked at. If you take Paul McGinn's, for instance, we're not having this discussion if Willie Collum sees that the way most people saw it at the weekend and gives a red card.
Or if I can take you a step even before that, you read Hugh Keevan's column, the problem starts with the players and the indiscipline of players.
Fair point as
so
well.
So if Paul McGinn doesn't do it, and Alan Power doesn't do it, and Darnell Johnson and Alan McGregor and Alfredo Morelos and Scott McKenna and all the other ones behave in a disciplined way, then we don't have that. Now, unfortunately, that's never going to happen. So you then hope that the referees get the decision right. And if they can't, you hope there's then a system, a backup, a safety net, if you like, that gets the decisions mm-hmm. right. At the minute, it doesn't appear that to be the case.
Jackson Fintry, what do you make of it all, Jack?
Hi, panel. First time caller, so evening to you all.
Hello,
Jack. Hi, Jack.
My opinion on the compliance officer is, as you mentioned, there's no consistency whatsoever. I mean, working off of the sort of incidents that I've seen, The power challenge on Ryan Jack, it's almost not a carbon copy, but it's highly similar to Muller's challenge on the young Frankie de Jong boy, I think, for Ajax in the Champions League. Now, obviously, I know it's a different calibre of referees and things, but if Muller's challenge is a red card, I can't see any reason why it's the Power's isn't a red card.
Yeah, I've got to agree with that, Gordon. Obviously, I wasn't at the game. I made my way home. I sat and I watched the game later on, and I thought it was a red card. I thought the referee got it wrong. But once again, nothing's been done about it, and I think that's where everybody's now picking holes in this system.
Jack, team allegiances to one side for a second. How do you feel overall? Do you still want to see a process where yellow cards can be upgraded to reds and players can be retrospectively cited for serious foul play afterwards? Or are you one of those that would just like to see none of that and whatever happens on the day sticks?
Personally, for me, I'd like to see the progression where you can go back and review it and move the yellow card to the red card, because if you can get away with challenges like this and it's not going to change, nothing's going to happen to the league. It's just going to stay in this, I don't want to say state of turmoil, where challenges are being made and the correct decision hasn't been given, but it's just not going to be attractive whatsoever.
Roger, are we at a stage where, and because let's not forget, the Scottish FA is a members organisation. I'm not saying it's as simple as just rocking up and demanding a change, but are we at the stage where would you expect some sort of at least a conversation for the next campaign as to how we work
with. We've had conversations. There was the summit at McDermott Park in Perth.
Yeah, that wouldn't have been about the disciplinary process as such, though, would it?
I mean, I think it was to an extent. It was supposed to foster better relations between managers and coaches and the referees and the SFA as the referee department. It was supposed to create a greater understanding among managers of the pressures under which referees and linesmen and the assistants operate. And I think if you listen to the managers, then to an extent it did that. It did create a greater understanding. But then a week or two later, all understanding's blown away again. Mm. Because how can anyone understand that McGregor and Johnson get done and McGinn and Power don't get done?
Thank you to Jack and Fintry on Twitter at Clyde SSB. We're still asking for your greatest saves, so keep them coming. Firhill says Buffon against Celtic. Sutton headed it back across him. He arched his back, clutched it when it was behind him and almost over the line. Heartbreaking. And I can't believe it's taken us so long. Ian Gray says the greatest ever save, Sylvester Stallone against the Germans. On that note,
Beat the Pundit with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
It's time for Beat the Pundit. Gordon Dalziel and Roger minus one. Hannah ready to take you on. You could win a signed ball, and remember, same as last night and the same as tomorrow night, just for getting through to play, we're giving you a pair of tickets to the Premier League darts in Glasgow at the Hydro on Thursday. Michael van Gerwen, Peter Wright, Van Barneveld, all the top boys are going to be there. And just for getting through on Beat the Pundit, you win yourself a pair of tickets. 01419511025. You only have until the news at 7, so be quick.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors, a team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger, Hannah and Gordon Dalziel here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. You can get in touch on the phones or on Twitter. We have been asking for your reaction to the Scottish Cup draw, your reaction to the disciplinary updates, no action to be taken against McGinn or Power after the weekend. We've also been asking for your greatest ever save that you witnessed after the sad passing of legendary goalkeeper Gordon Banks. We're going to get the lowdown from Spain on what's happening with Valencia ahead of that game against Celtic. But first of all, let's do this.
Beat the Pundit
with Goals in the Scottish Sun, the SPFL and EPL latest every Monday, Wednesday and Saturday.
Yes, Beat the Pundit time. Minus one, Hannah, and not minus one. DL are standing by. One of them is up against Andy Murray, would you believe? Not that one. A Rangers fan from East Kilbride. Hi, Andrew.
Hiya.
How are you?
Not bad, yourself.
Was it the darts that hooked you in, or were you fancying your chances anyway?
More so the darts.
I see, I knew it. The phones looked a bit busier than usual. But anyway, there we go. Just for getting on tonight, Andrew, you have won yourself a pair of tickets to the Premier League of darts this Thursday at the Hydro. You're going to see all the top boys in action. It is Valentine's Day, by the way, Andrew. Are you aware of that? That going to cause a problem?
Hopefully not, no.
Right, okay. Well, blame our friends at the PDC for giving you the tickets. But there we go. You can let us know how you get on that one. Speaking of Valentine's Day, you'll be in here with us, Gordon Dalziel, on Thursday. I thought man of your history would have other plans.
I'll just wait till I go home at night and open all my cardboard.
That's plenty. Okay, Doc, I'm going to toss the coin. Heads, you will be up against Roger minus one, Hannah. And tails, you will be up against Gordon Dalziel. Once one of them gives me a coin, because I've lost mine. There we go. Let's see how we get on. And it is heads. It's minus one, Hannah, up against Andrew from East Kilbride.
Good luck, Andrew.
So I'm going to give him some Clyde 2 in his ear, Andrew. Make sure that he can't hear you. You've got 30 seconds head to head with Roger. You can pass, so if you're going to do it quickly. Are you ready to go?
Yes.
Good man, your time starts now. What was the final score of last night's Highland Derby?
2 each.
Who was the first Scottish club Billy Dodds signed for permanently?
Dundee.
Who was the manager of Aberdeen immediately before Derek McInnes?
Pass.
Which Celtic players picked up the most league bookings this season?
Brown.
Which St Johnson player today signed a new deal at the club?
Pass.
At what Scottish stadium would you find the Roseburn stand?
Hearts.
Okay. Let me bring Roger Hannah back. Roger, are you with us?
We bit of Boston there in Clyde too.
That to your liking?
No complaints there, Gordon.
Good stuff, alright. We'll get the same set of questions to you. Remember, you do start on minus one, just in case you've forgotten, alright? What was the final score in last night's Highland Derby?
2-2.
What was the first Scottish club Billy Dodds signed permanently for?
Partick Thistle.
Who was the manager of Aberdeen immediately before Derek McInnes?
Craig Brown.
Which Scott Celtic player has picked up the most league bookings this season?
Callum McGregor.
Which St Johnstone player today signed a new deal at the club?
Richard Foster.
At what Scottish stadium would you find the Roseburn stand?
Tynecastle.
Jimmy Calderwood has managed in Scotland and which other country?
Holland.
And which Scottish League 2 club's badge features a pickaxe and a shovel? What a question that is, honestly. League 2.
Annan Athletic.
Okay. Right, Andrew, he starts on minus one. Do you fancy your chances?
Not really, no.
Well, listen, I think you're doing yourself a disservice. Let's go through them. What was the final score of last night's Highland Derby? 2-2. You both got that right, so Andrew is one in front. The first Scottish club Billy Dodds signed permanently for
Dundee.
Was Dundee. It was a loan to Partick Thistle. So Andrew gets that one right, which means he's two in front. Who was the manager of Aberdeen immediately before Derek McInnes? It's Craig Brown. So you pull one back, Roger. Which Celtic player has picked up the most league bookings this season? It's Scott Brown.
Oh.
Andrew got that right, so he goes two in front again. What St Johnstone players today signed a new deal at the club? I think we're going to need to do a steward's inquiry, and I hate to do this to you, Andrew, but you did say pass. I always say I need to accept your first answer. You eventually got it right, but you said pass first. So Roger Hanna pulls one back. At which Scottish stadium would you find the Roseburn stand? Tynecastle. You both got that. And then Jimmy Calderwood has managed in Scotland and which other country? It is the Netherlands. Cowdenbeath was the pickaxe and the shovel. Oh. Roger, just in case you're wondering. So I'm going to have to count those up. Both got the first one right, didn't you? So that's 1, 2, 3, 4 for Andrew, and 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 for Roger Hanna. So it's a draw. Because of your minus one, it's a draw. I know. And do you know what? You knew it, Andrew. You just dived in quickly on the pass. So I'm going to read the tiebreaker. Here's what's going to happen. I'm going to read the question. Roger will write his answer down, and you give me your attempt when I ask you. All
right?
Another bizarre question, as always on the tiebreaker. In what year did St Mirren win the Anglo-Scottish Cup against Bristol City? Roger, write your answer down. In what year did St Mirren win the Anglo-Scottish Cup against Bristol City? Roger, show me your answer, please. Okay, look, Andrew, what's your attempt?
If 1940.
Okay, Andrew goes 1940, Roger goes 1977. The answer is 1980, Andrew. He's done you on the tiebreaker. Hard lines.
No idea.
Good man, Andrew. It was a good effort. And of course, you're already a winner. You're off to see the Premier League of Darts, thanks to our friends at the PDC, this Thursday at the Hydro. That good?
That's very excellent.
Enjoy the darts, Andrew.
Enjoy your night. Romantic setting, that though, isn't it? The darts.
I've never been to the darts.
You can write, you could write a wee poem, I suppose, on the card that you get, and you can hold it up to the camera. And that's romantic, I'm sure it is.
Can you not take your wife or girlfriend with you?
Of course you could.
Exactly. Yeah. Oh, yes. Nice night at the darts.
Absolutely.
That's romantic.
One more chance to win tickets to the darts on tomorrow night's Beat the Pundit. You got plans? Is darts something you think you could pull off as a romantic trip?
I could pull off any romantic.
You think so?
Yeah.
I'm not so sure. I am not so sure at all. Right, 0141 951 1025. Give us your thoughts on any of the day's big stories. We're still looking for the best saves you've ever seen after the sad passing of legendary goalkeeper Gordon Banks as well. Now we're going to take a bit of a closer look at Celtic against Valencia. So I'm pleased to say we're joined on the phone by David Cartledge. He's a Spanish football expert for ESPN 442 amongst others. David, thanks for joining us.
No problem, nice to join you guys.
Just tell us a little bit about Valencia at the moment, David, in terms of how their form is, how they approach this game on Thursday.
Yeah, absolutely. They've had quite an underwhelming season, if we're honest, given how well they played last season. And this year they're really, really disappointed. Obviously they're coming down from the Champions League, they were knocked out of their group, performed very poorly there. Their league form has been quite similar. And only in recent weeks, I would say that they have begun to turn things around and show signs of life, which might not be good news for Celtic.
Yeah, I mean, look at the last three, for instance. I think they've drawn all of the last three. One of them at Barcelona, though. So they're clearly doing something right if you can go somewhere like that and get a point.
Yeah, absolutely. That was one of their better performances. You know, they got a good away win against Celta Vigo. They beat close rivals Villarreal. And then, as you say, they got that point against Barcelona. And at the weekend, it honestly wasn't a bad point against Real Sociedad either. So things are definitely turning around. It's just, it's hard to get away from the season being a disappointment considering the talent they have available to them.
Yeah, who makes them tick then? For any fans going along or watching in television, David, who would be the danger man, if you like, from a Celtic perspective?
I would say to stop Valencia playing, you have to keep an eye on Dani Parejo, the little central midfielder. Excellent technique, high levels of passing. He's the captain, and he just really, really gets the team going. And I think if he gets, you know, comfortable, if he gets a foothold in the game, then that isn't good for Celtic at all. So I would say to Celtic, potentially, you know, get a defensive midfielder on him and just shut down his passing angles, shut down the movement around him, and then that should, you know, help Celtic get through the game.
Squad-wise, did they arrive in good health?
Yes, everybody's pretty much fit. Missing Ron Cagliari, the new centre-back, through suspension. But other than that, they can field a very, very strong team. And I think they can be confident of seeing through this tie. I think with the, like I say, with the talent that they have got, they should definitely be performing better right now.
They're a difficult team to beat, David. They've only lost four, I think, of their 23 league games so far. Will they miss Ron Cagliari at the back alongside Ezequiel Garay?
I think they'll be okay because with Roncaglia, he's a new signing. And I think Gabriel, who used to play for Arsenal, will step up and I think he'll try to man that defence, basically. So they should be okay. And I mean, the problem is they have drawn far too many games this season. That's been a big disappointment. I mean, who knows? It could bode well for them, you know, if they want to hold Celtic. But they're very negative at times, and that has, you know, come to hurt them in the fact that they have sat in deep, they have tried to, you know, see games through, and they simply haven't been able to, and that's what's caught them out.
Such a Spanish dominance of this competition in recent years, David. Do Valencia have designs on winning this thing? Is that a priority for them?
I think, you know, trying to get into Europe again for next season is the priority. So I think they're going to be concentrating on the league a lot more. And I mean, you know, I think that's probably his priority for them, to try and improve that league position that they have, because with it being such a disappointment, I think. I'm not saying that this competition is a distraction, but I just think they need to, you know, really focus on that league form.
In terms of a goal threat, David, when Valencia beat Manchester United in that Champions League group, they had Michy Batshuayi up front. He was on loan from Chelsea, and he's now back in the English Premier League with Crystal Palace. Where will the goal threat come from? Is Santi Mina fit? Will Kevin Gamero start the game? You know, does Rodrigo come back into the plans for this game on Thursday night?
I think it'll be Rodrigo. You know, I speak of Dani Parejo being the captain, being the leader, but Rodrigo Moreno, the striker, he definitely takes on a lot of the load as well, and is the vice-captain, you could say. And I think if, you know, the goals are going to come, then it's going to be via Rodrigo or potentially Santi Mina. The problem with Santi Mina is he's, sometimes he just kind of looks disinterested, and that's the problem. His game relies a lot on being charged up, being very energetic, and he simply doesn't like to play in that manner too often. It hasn't really clicked for him at the moment. He's a very talented player, but he's somebody who needs to have more consistency in his game.
Listen, David, we're not naive enough to think that the Spanish football fans will know the Celtic squad inside out. I know that doesn't happen. I wonder if there are any Celtic players that are on the radar over there has been a potential problem to Valencia.
I honestly don't think they're aware of too many, especially, you know, Valencia are so, you know, obsessed with, I think, their own fortunes. But yeah, I mean, you know, you have to look at things and you would say that, you know, somebody like Tierney, Griffiths, you know, potentially then the Scott Sinclair, you know, that. But again, it's just, you know, there's not too many players who stand out, I would say, to Valencia fans.
The one thing that Celtic tend to try and use in their favour or have been known for in recent seasons, David, would be these big European nights and the advantage or the perceived advantage that can give them to get some big results at home. Is that something that will play a part, do you think, given the two-leg dynamic of the tie?
Yeah, absolutely. I think that's going to be a huge part. Valencia simply aren't used to playing in front of that atmosphere that is generated by Celtic. You know, it is very, very special, of course. And it has been thrown to Valencia this season that they are quite weak in terms of mentality. So, you know, if Celtic put a few tackles in, if the crowd is up, I can see them crumbling. And that's when Celtic could take advantage.
All right, thank you to David Cartledge, Spanish football expert for ESPN, giving us a good insight into what Valencia will bring on Thursday evening. That's quite an interesting point that David finishes on, Gordon, because we often talk about the atmosphere, these big European mm-hmm. nights, and then you think, well, do you know what? These are elite players. Surely they've faced big atmospheres and stuff before. But David is actually saying that from his perspective, he thinks that could play a part.
Well, it's good news for Celtic of the fact that, you know, Celtic Park will be rocking on Thursday night, as we well know. And David's saying there about, you know, that could be a big factor, and, you know, Valencia could crumble, which I found very surprising there to hear those words. But I'm sure that Celtic will make it a terrific atmosphere. Mm. And it's up to the players to respond, the Celtic players to respond to that atmosphere. I've got a sneaky feeling that Celtic can get a real positive result on Thursday night.
David telling us, Roger, that this is by no means a priority, this competition for Valencia. But if you were a Celtic fan listening to that and hoping that they arrive out of form or with a huge injury list, that's not going to be the case.
Well, it will become a priority the closer they get to the final of this competition, because the Europa League now offers a passport into next season's Champions League. We've said in the show already, Valencia down in 8th, a long way behind Barcelona, Real, Atletico, Sevilla, the teams are currently in Spain's 4 Champions League qualification places. So if Valencia want to get back into the Champions League, it looks to me their best route to do so would be to win the Europa League. So David might think the priority is La Liga positions. I'm not so sure about that. If you're Valencia, you look at this competition, you fancy yourself to win it, then this Celtic tie is huge for them.
Izaguirre or Hayes, maybe Tierney, but I think that'd be a huge outside shout. That aside, does the Celtic team pick itself for you?
Yeah. It'll be interesting to see who he brings in at left back. He's obviously got confidence in Johnny Hayes just now. But if Izaguirre was fit, then he's a natural fullback for me, and that's who I would go with, especially against the quality that Valencia will probably have on their side.
Is an option Daz Tolyan across at left back, because he can play there, and Lustig coming back in on the right?
I've only seen the lad playing at right back, Roger, and I've been very impressed with him, especially at the weekend there. I thought he was terrific. I don't know. I've never watched him, so I don't like that. I sometimes think that goes against you a little bit. I just think that if Izaguirre is fit, then I would have no problems whatsoever seeing him fill in at left back.
James is in Ridley. He's a Celtic fan. Took a wee while to answer the phone because he was watching Emmerdale. Sorry to interrupt, James.
Don't lie you.
Listen, that's the word from the producer in my ear. You can sort it out.
He's watching Emmerdale. I've no.
Well, listen, don't tell us anything, because Daz is taping it.
Yes, that's, yeah. Aye. I, you know, listen, James, this is true. This is true, James. I phoned Gordon DL at about 1:30 today, and he said, I'm watching Coronation Street.
Yeah.
Tuesday afternoon.
Well, I was
getting
my catch up.
James, I know you've got a point about referees, just quickly, because we're on the topic. As a Celtic fan, what are your thoughts ahead of Valencia on Thursday?
Oh, but Fraser Wisher on Saturday, I was trying to go on your air, and he was shouting about, we're going to have to start we don't want to start re-refereeing every game. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe he should talk to his members, his players in particular, and tell them to stop their cheating. The cheating in football is unbelievable. There's more cheats in football than any other sport. It's shocking. And they're on about with respect on their shirts. No matter what decision goes against them, they're all in the referee. There's players to blame for most of this.
Well, listen, that was the point Hugh Keevans was making in his column on the Clyde One website yesterday, that the starting point for all of this is the indiscipline of players. Now, I'm quite sure Fraser would...
2 seconds, James, I'll let you back in.
I'm sure Fraser would defend his members vehemently at such allegations, but I know exactly what you mean. Managers have complained about the antics of players in terms of simulation, in terms of fouls, in terms of many things this season. Should there be better standards of behaviour, standards of conduct from the players? Listen, it's a very fair argument.
Of course, you're right in many respects, James, but in fairness to players, there are some times where you're not trying to cheat. I mean, if you fly into a tackle and you're trying to win the ball, but you get it wrong, it might be a red card offence, but there's got to be a difference between that and you know, deliberate cheating, surely.
Yeah, well, I've been talking to him as well. When you start rolling about, you know, the ones that run up and shouting, people sent half, booked, sent half. And plus, if I don't forget, you're throwing from the right place.
It's not a great line that James has got, I think, so we'll leave it there, but you got the gist of what the point was, Roger, but it's got to be important to draw a distinction, surely.
Yeah, I think cheating's probably a little bit too far. The point Hugh was making, and I think the point several managers, Stephen Clarke, Stephen Gerrard among them, have made, is that a lot of players are leaving themselves open to the potential of notices of complaint from the compliance officer, Claire White, because of their conduct. You know, Steve Clarke wanted Jermaine Defoe done. Stephen Gerrard said he'd be fascinating to see if Alan Power was done. Alan Power hasn't been done. Paul McGinn hasn't been done, despite Oran Kearney saying it wouldn't have surprised him if his captain had been done. So it's a can of worms at the minute, Gordon.
Thanks to James and Ridley. Sorry about that, James. The line wasn't great. We're still looking for your greatest ever saves as a tribute to the late, great Gordon Banks. Bunbeg Brian says, I'm torn between two. Paddy Bonner, last minute of the €88 against England from a Gary Lineker header. He says it was literally a clone of Banks and Pelly. The other would be Fraser Forster from a messy shot at Celtic Park, top corner, tiniest of touches. So keep yours coming in on Twitter at ClydeSSB. As always, the Tuesday night full-time teaser is the toughest of the week. You really need to know your stuff to get on a Tuesday night. We're going to get that teaser up and running next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Win the compensation you deserve. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Roger Hanna and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan, on tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Keep your tweets coming to Clyde SSB. We are asking for the greatest save you have ever seen. This is after the sad passing of Gordon Banks. So many getting in touch, to say the likes of Alan McGregor against Werder Bremen. We've had a lot of shouts for Andy Gorham against Pierre Van Hooijdonk, so keep them coming. As I said earlier, the more obscure the better, ones we haven't heard of. Tell us the story, tell us why it was so good. Now it's time for the teaser, the full time teaser. Are you ready? That's not quite the answer I was looking for.
Ready.
Great stuff. Now, as always, Tuesday nights are quite difficult, so you're going to have to think carefully about this. A pen and paper may help you.
Yeah.
Since 2000. Oh, by the way, it's called Who's the Man. It's actually a name. There's a title for the question. I love that. So since 2000, 11 players with the word man anywhere in their names have played for Celtic or Rangers. Since 2000, 11 players with the word man anywhere in their names have played for either Celtic or Rangers. Some of the names on here are outrageous.
Bert Konterman.
Yes.
Brilliant.
Rangers 2000 to 2003. Gordon DL, any that spring to mind, did I ask?
I'm trying to think, Gordon.
It's a good one.
Oh.
Yeah, that is a good question. John sent this one in, fulltime@clyde1.com. That's the address you need to send your questions. They don't need to be as tough as this. I had a complaint from Sammy on Twitter earlier saying last night's was too easy. Sammy, this role is all about knowing your audience, and if you've got Hugh Keevans and Alex Ray in front of you, they need to be a bit easier than the ones you give to Roger Hanna. So I apologise.
Years ago we could have had Newman. Newman.
What?
Arthur Newman.
Did you just suggest that, then talk yourself out of it?
Yeah, because I was actually thinking Newman, the substitutes. Remember years ago, well before your time, Roger will know about
what
this.
What is he on about?
Do you remember?
Just write down Arthur Newman, Gordon.
But why do you not think Arthur Newman is correct?
Because
even though
I was
you just
too,
suggested
I was too
it.
Busy thinking about my Newman one. So, Arthur Newman.
What? Right, okay, yes. Arthur Newman played for Rangers 98 to 03. So since 2000, 11 players with the word man anywhere.
Oh, Stephen McManus.
In their name have played for Celtic Rangers. Stephen McManus. See, once you get the bit between your teeth, that's a good start. That is a good start. Arthur Newman, Stephen McManus, Bert Konterman. You can play along on Twitter at Clyde SSB. That is a very good question. I like it. All right, Brian is a Celtic fan in Moss Park. What's on your mind tonight, Brian?
Hi, what's my mind is a left back position Thursday evening for Celtic against Valencia. I mean, you're a bit quiet. I'm hoping Kieran's going to make it, but failing that, I would like to see Mikael Lustig move to left back. I know he's not the greatest, but he's got years of experience playing in World Cups and what have European Championships, and really he's a great, it's cost us big time in Europe. Johnny Hayes had a very good game on Sunday, but that's probably the worst Premier League performance I've ever seen by a team. St Johnstone were so poor, it was unbelievable. So just like your thoughts on that, I think Lustig is obviously capable enough to play in at left back for us.
Gordon.
Well, he's certainly got the experience, you're right there. But I just feel that I can't see Kieran Tierney playing. I can't see them risking that at all.
I mean, he's not played since the European game against Salzburg, yeah, the 13th of December.
Yeah.
I mean, he strikes you as the type of guy that you could probably throw back in, but
yeah, I think it would just be
unlikely.
A bit too early, Gordon. I would, if everybody was fit, I would play my natural fullback there, and I think the natural fullback is Aguirre.
Roger, what about Brian's point in terms of, you know, looking towards the experience of Lustig as a factor as to why he should play if needed?
Yeah, as we said a few minutes ago, I think if Lustig was going to come into the team, he would come in at right back and Tolian would switch over to left back. I tend to agree with Brian that the preferable option would be Kieran Tierney starting the game. He's back in training, he's been working hard this week. I'm quite sure if Brendan Rodgers was to ask Kieran Tierney to go out and play against Valencia, he wouldn't let anyone down. Interesting to see who the final decision on that is taken. It's left to, whether it's left to Kieran, whether it's left to the manager, whether it's left to the medical department, because he has now been out for quite a period of time, you know, more than 2 months. So it would be a big ask to come back in. He's a Gary, we don't know if he's fit after that Darnell Johnson challenge either, or whether it will come down to Johnny Hayes. But listen, you said it earlier on, the Celtic team picks itself with the exception of that left back role.
Brian?
Yes, I mean, I think Kieran's like, if it's Kieran and Scott Brown, they're very similar players. They're just, they would go through a brick wall for Celtic, and I think if Kieran played, I know it's going to be like hyperbole, but I think he would do his utmost to put in his best performance he could. And if you told, even if he's 60% fit, I would certainly get him in there. And I've got one of your answers.
No, Brian, no. Don't, Brian, don't tell him, because I like Brian to see these two struggle. I've just turned Brian's mic off. So, Brian, well done for getting it, but I'm not sharing it with, did you?
I've got one. I've got one anyway.
Go for it,
Heinemann, the lad at Hibs.
Emerson Heinemann, yep.
Yeah.
Now, this is one that was signed. I don't know if he actually played for Rangers. Pipo Manieri. Maniero.
No, he's not. He's not on John's list anyway. That's what you need to know. All right. Thank you to Brian in Moss Park. 0141 951 1025. Keep your answers where they are at the moment. Kenny Carmichael's got a good one for you on Twitter. What else have we got? Scott Murray's thrown a couple in, actually. Lewis has got that Emerson Heinemann one. He got it before you did, to be fair.
Oh, well, listen, we've just had a text for the Mushroom. He says Gail Biggery Manor.
Never played for Rangers.
Mushroom, you're wrong again.
He was signed, but he never played. On the best saves, Kieran says best saves I've seen were Fraser Foster's performance against Barca in 2012, being dubbed La Gran Muralla. What does that mean, Gordon?
Fantastic save.
The Great Wall. Oh, consequently, okay, says Kieran. There we go. Mm-hmm. Kieran's bringing a bit of, I don't know, a bit of something extra to the Tuesday night show. We don't usually get exotic language like that, but Gordon DL will store that one for the future. You going to use that to describe any goalkeepers?
No.
What was it? Like,
I've no idea. Yeah, I've weren't listening, totally very switched off already.
Right, okay, Roke. The Dances with Taxis says Peter Latchford. Edge of his box, somebody scalped a shot from 45 yards. Peter got his ample frame up and touched it onto the bar and over for a corner. And it was an 80s reserve game, he says. So look at that. I did say the more obscure the better. Harry's in East Kilbride. What's in your mind tonight, Harry?
Good evening, Gordon. It's Roger.
Hello. Hi, Harry.
I think the retrospective red card system as it currently stands, it just isn't working. If you think of Dolly Menga, for example, playing for Livingston, he didn't get sent off, right? So Celtic, they were punished for that because the other team didn't go down to 10 men. But then he's banned, and what happens? One of Celtic's rivals get the benefit of the fact that he's not available. And you can say exactly the same thing with Darnell Johnson. So really, if you're going to kind of make it a bit fairer for a team who didn't face the 10 men, it'd be better if it was banned against that team. And the two-match ban or the one-match ban was the next time they played the opposition. The way it currently works, you know, Celtic's getting hit twice for the same offence.
Mm. We've had this before, Harry, and the response I gave then is the obvious problem I can see with your suggestion. What if that is in the final Hibs versus Celtic meeting of the season? And, you know, Darnell Johnson leaves the club in the summer. You know, I appreciate this is all very hypothetical, but then, you know, then he never serves the ban. So does that not seem a bit counterproductive?
So no, he can serve the ban in those rare circumstances where that happens, and that's a fair point. When in these rare circumstances, he still serves the ban, but he moves on to the next team. But he's, that team that he's playing for, it's against the team where he was sent off. I mean, there's always going to be a next season, and a next season, and a next season. You're missing the point here, I think. It's the player against the opposition team.
You know, I do get it, but you know, I'm talking about, I mean, yeah, you're talking about St Mirren. St Mirren could easily be relegated. It's not all about players leaving.
It's too complicated to administer. I think it would be, there's a degree of fairness in what you're saying, Harry. I just think for the authorities, it would just be too difficult to implement because of, you know, what the point Gordon made and various other points as well.
Harry, what about the is that your overall take on it? The fact that you just want them done away with altogether, retrospective bans, or is it certain ones? We've seen a bit of a distinction here. I think Fraser Wishart made the point on the weekend that he felt, you know, violent conduct, things that really were not seen at all by the refs, he was happy for them to be looked at retrospectively. But these serious foul play ones, McGregor, Power, Johnson, those were the ones he didn't think that should be retrospectively looked at. Do you see a distinction there?
See, I'm looking at it from a team's perspective, the team who's been punished, right? And for me, I would rather they'd done away with them altogether, the refereeing get better, they looked at the things that they missed, and then they improved their performance. And the team, at least, weren't being punished twice. As it is, in my example in Celtic, what they're looking at there is they're punished twice for the same thing. And I've watched it over and over again. It seems to be a bit quite consistent, you know, that the retrospective thing happens, you know, at the key moments in some games. I've watched it this season. And a bit of advice for yourself, Gordon. Take it from the other Gordon there who's on the panel tonight. It'd be quite good if you tried to kind of look at this much more openly. I feel your views are kind of, they're slanted quite a bit as well. So it's just a wee bit of feedback.
Which Gordon's been slanted, me?
Yeah, your views are... Yeah, I mean, we've had on.
In what way? What do you mean? I don't usually give my opinion on much, but I may have.
No, you actually do. You actually do. You're very, very good. I'd say you're actually fantastic at shaping the argument in a certain direction. You emphasise various points to make sure that you're protecting one side as opposed to the other. And I've listened to you for a long, long time now. You're very, very good at it.
You got any examples?
You shape the argument really, really well.
Any examples? Just so I can work on it in the future.
There's far too many.
Oh, you must be able to find one then. If there are so many, you must be able to find one.
I will do that. I'll write in it and I'll show you, because you do it every single day. I've got to say that. You're a very intelligent man. You shape the arguments really, really well, but it's always one-sided. You should try and approach it a wee bit more of an even hand.
So as a Celtic fan, let's cut to the chase, Harry. As a Celtic fan, you're trying to say I shape them away from your team, essentially, yeah?
Oh, 100%.
I thought you might say that. Great stuff. Thank you to Harry. And he's got, I'm glad we got there in the end, because you can always see where it's going. So,
so there we go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. Can't keep it in. 0141 951 1025. What about the teaser?
Magnus Hedman.
Oh, brilliant.
If you had said that on Twitter, I must admit, but you've nailed it. Well done.
There's a lad that came up from Manchester United. What was his first name? Blackman. What was his first name? Left centre back.
Blackett.
Oh, it's Blackett.
There we go. Any more at the moment? You've got, oh, by the way, if you're just joining us, since 2011, players with the word man anywhere in their names have played for either Celtic or
who have we got, Gordon?
Rangers. You've got Hedman, Hindman, Conterman, McManus, and Newman.
Roger, you got any?
No more at the minute.
No. Okay. Let's just touch on a piece of other news from Scottish football we've not mentioned, or perhaps that's no news, and that's with regards to the Hibs manager, or lack thereof, Roger Hanna. Michael Appleton, it looked like Hibs were moving towards that. It now looks like there's been a bit of a block, or a bit of an issue there, that they're not perhaps progressing the way people thought they were. Do you still expect him to be the Hibs manager?
The longer it goes on, no, I'm not convinced he is going to be the next Hibs manager. I'm really not. I thought at the weekend that he would have been paraded with a green and white scarf above his head at Easter Road by now. That hasn't happened. My understanding is there's a few financial disagreements, if you like. They haven't been able to reach a complete accord on that. And the longer it goes on, you would think the less chance there is of Michael Appleton taking the job. Does that open the door perhaps for Paul Heckingbottom, who seemed, you know, the opinion seemed to be he was a sort of second choice? Has he suddenly become first choice again? Or you know, do they have to start the process again?
Any truth in the rumour that this is a campaign started by the Scottish football writers who are scared of him, having seen his tattooed biceps and don't want to ask him any difficult questions in future press conferences?
Yeah, listen, he does appear to like a tattoo, doesn't he?
He's a big boy.
Oh yeah, I was watching him behind you, Gordon. He looks a very strong lad.
On the television, by the way. He's not here.
No, on the TV. Right,
just the
yeah,
way
on
you
the
said
screen.
That
just sorry,
lead to a bit of confusion. Yeah, so interestingly, Roger, because you've got Eddie May at the weekend explicitly saying, yeah, it's the last game, it's my last game in charge. I've just been told there it's my last game in charge. All of a sudden, we're nearly on Wednesday, and you just wonder if he will be back in the dugout this weekend.
Yeah, Hamilton, big game. Hamilton have started well under their new manager, Brian Rice, a former Hibs player. Brian was there at the weekend to watch Hibs beat Raith Rovers in what Eddie May thought was going to be the last game for him in charge. But the longer it goes on, the deeper we get into another week with no appointment at Easter Road, you just begin to wonder.
There we go. Let's see. Right, quickly on the teaser then. Any more? Still looking for anyone with 11 players with man in the name that have played for Celtic or Rangers since 2000. Headman, Hindman, Conterman, McManus, Newman.
I don't know.
I'll give you some thinking time. We'll get the answer next.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. A team that gets results every week. Talk to Thompson's.com.
Into the final part of tonight's Clyde One Super Scoreboard. Roger Hannah and Gordon DL here with me, Gordon Duncan. This is a cracking question, and as I expected, it's getting a cracking response on Twitter. Fraser Andrew has got an absolute stunner of an answer that you two haven't come up with yet. Mikey's thrown some in. Hugh, Jerry, James, I can see you all giving it a good go. What about you two though? You're the two that matter in here. We're looking for 11 players since 2000 with the word man anywhere in their names that have played for Celtic or Rangers. So guys like Magnus Hedman, Emerson Hindman, Bert Conterman, Stephen McManus, Arthur Newman. You've had a few minutes to think.
Miles Bierman.
Say that again, and this time I'll put your mic on.
Sorry, Miles Bierman.
That's a great shout.
And we finally got to the bottom of who you were trying to say 5 minutes ago. We thought you were trying to say Tyler Blackett, and you are actually trying to say Andre
Blackman.
Yeah,
Andre Blackman. Well done.
Dean Furman.
That's a great shout from you, Roger Hannah. Dean Furman, Rangers back. Was it about 10 years ago now?
Yeah, we South African laddie. What about Juan Manuel Ortiz?
Oh my goodness.
Who?
What a shout that is.
Manali McCoy singing.
Juan Manuel Ortiz,
right winger from Celtic.
Oh yeah, I remember him.
Came in, put the shirt on, took it off again, and went him.
Yeah, remember him.
I'll give you a wee secret here. In the break there, Roger says, is there any Manuels? And I just tried to ignore him. I tried not to give him eye contact. I didn't want to give him any encouragement, but he saw right through me, and he's got Juan Manuel Ortiz. Right, so you've only got two to get, so we'll leave that there because there's plenty of time. Here's a pretty disturbing story, Roger, in that the best subjects for this show are ones that you can come on and say, right, what do you think of that? And let's look at the both sides of the argument. St Mirren today issuing a statement condemning fans who spat and threw coins at an unconscious Dundee United fan on Saturday. I don't really think there are any other sides to that than condemnation from everyone.
Yeah,
I mean,
I couldn't agree more. If this incident happened and it's St Mirren themselves who have brought it into the public domain, then the people culpable should be banned from all football grounds in the country, because they brought shame on St Mirren, they brought shame on themselves and their families, and they brought shame on Scottish society. How on earth anyone could be guilty of those crimes is just beyond me. And there's an unfortunate move again towards antisocial behaviour at football grounds. You see it more and more down south. I think there was some Burnley supporters being prosecuted over an alleged incident at Brighton. There was some Everton supporters who have been arrested over an alleged incident at Watford at the weekend. You saw it when Everton played at Millwall recently. There have been other unsavoury incidents up here in the last couple of seasons involving, one off the top of my head, the Falkirk-Dunfermline game last season. It's becoming more and more prevalent. That has to be a worry for football, and I wish St Mirren Football Club well as they try and root these people out.
I mean, Gordon, what are we doing exactly? I know you can't even talk about passions running high or rivalries, because that's all absolute nonsense. Mm-hmm. When it comes to stuff like this, why on earth can we not just be a little bit better towards each other? That can't be too much to ask.
Yeah, that's a big question, Gordon. I was actually there on Saturday. Unfortunately, I never witnessed what was going on. Dundee United brought large numbers down, made it a really good atmosphere, a good cup tie. It was a good game. It had a lot of excitement. But this this is just ridiculous. It needs stamped out. There's no place whatsoever in the game for it. It's absolutely incredible. And Roger's correct. If St Mirren find this, these people that were involved in it, they should never be allowed back in a football ground.
This is where this whole question of self-policing comes up time and time again, Roger, because you, the clubs, I mean, they can use CCTV or whatever else, but there becomes a reliance on fans to sort of do the right thing and help out, which I would appreciate isn't always easy.
Yeah, yeah, and listen, it's very difficult to talk about fans policing themselves. A lot of these games now are actually police-free. They're deemed low risk. It's left to stewards to look after, basically look after public safety, if you like. It's very difficult though to ask stewards to, you know, involve themselves in incidents like that. There needs to be some moral responsibility on individual supporters to do the right thing, to help other supporters regardless of the colours they're wearing in their hour of need. The allegation today is that not only did they not help the supporters, they actively went out to degrade the injured unconscious supporter. It brings shame on the club and it brings shame on the game.
01419511025 is the number. Alex, a Rangers fan from Airdrie, has dialed. What's your point tonight, Alex?
Hi, I actually called in last night to make some points about the Broadfoot and Power incidents. I don't want to rake that up again. That was spoken about last night. I mean, Roger, who watches a lot more football than I do, clearly agreed that both Kip Broadwood, he could have been sent off for the penalty incident because he prevented a goal-scoring opportunity. But secondly, he should have been yellow-carded for taking Defoe out. Power, I mean, that was a flying drop kick out of Conor McGregor's textbook. I think it's a question of consistency, or perhaps the lack of it. I mean, inconsistency starts with the referees, and it's then compounded with people like compliance officers and their consideration of incidents which are to be cited. You know, for the avoidance of doubt, I'm a Rangers fan, and the first caller tonight made a good point when he said, when he asked, when was the last time a Celtic player was cited for, an incident? So all these things.
When you say that, when you say he made a good point, Alex, I mean, I know what the insinuation is. I'm not that daft, but what does that prove? What does that actually prove about Rangers being cited more?
Up one thing right now. I'm not a believer in any conspiracies of either blue or green variety. I'm only interested in consistency of decisions on the field of play and consistency of how they're dealt with when they come in front of a compliance officer.
Yeah, I get that, but you were talking about...
And there is no consistency. I mean, Roger, as I say, who watches a lot more football than I do, has already said there is no consistency. So, you know, how do we solve this problem?
Oh, there's a question, Roger, at 5 to 8.
How do we solve it? I think there needs to be a root and branch investigation into the SFA disciplinary procedures, because they've been put in place with the best of intentions. Unfortunately, in practice, they're clearly not working. We listened to Fraser Wishart on the show at the weekend, who runs the Players' Union. He's deeply worried that these procedures are unfair on his members. You listen to supporters, they're deeply worried that, you know, that they're not being fairly applied across the board. You listen to managers who are now actually on a weekly basis imploring the compliance officer to go and prosecute players from other teams. I'm not sure that can be right. So there are a lot of things that need ironed out. We can't do it mid-season, but I think if the SFA and referees are going to have more meetings with managers, and I believe that is planned, then come the summer, I think there needs to be a big meeting where we need to sort out all these problems, because we can't allow this to rumble on into another season.
By nature, I tend to be quite an optimist, Gordon Dalziel. But listening to what Roger said, I'm not sure how we get it back. Just looking at the way it is now, the culture. I explained the other night, you know, that the possibility that a lot of it is obviously social media driven, with as far as fans are concerned. And are we too far gone? Do we ever get back to a stage where we don't pour over, you know, every single decision on a Monday and a Tuesday and a Wednesday? And, you know, for us, for instance, you know, we'll get the odd tweet or the odd phone call saying, do you know what, we're fed up talking about refs, let's talk about football. Do you know what happens tomorrow? Alan McGregor has his hearing to find out whether he gets banned or not. So then that is big news, and the big news just keeps coming because of this culture that we've got.
Yeah, and the sad thing is, Gordon, it's probably one of the most exciting seasons we've had for a long, long time. Some of the footballers I touched on, I watched St Mirren Dundee United in the Cup on Saturday. It was a very exciting game. Celtic on Sunday scoring five against St Johnstone. You look at Aberdeen and Rangers game. We should really, when people are saying, well, we don't promote our game good enough, but unfortunately, it's not about all the product that's on the pitch. It's about the product that's off the pitch. But I don't know, to answer your question, I really don't know, but we have to try and do something.
Since 2011, players with the word man in their names have played for either Celtic or Rangers. We've got Miles Bierman, Andre Blackman, Dean Furman, Magnus Hedman, Emerson Hindman, Bert Conterman, Stephen McManus, Arthur Newman, Juan Manuel Ortiz. We're two away.
Roger, any joy? I'm struggling, I'm out.
Completely done?
Yeah, I'm finished.
You've got one Rangers, one Celtic, if that helps at all.
Positions.
The Rangers one is really quite recently, but his Rangers career didn't really amount to much, and that's why you can't remember him. I think
who would be his manager at Rangers, do you think?
Pedro Caixinha. I think he played in that infamous semi-final defeat to Motherwell.
Oh, I'm struggling.
He played a part, certainly. I think he came on. He was a winger on loan from Man City. Surprised you didn't talk to him about the good old days.
What do you call him, Roger?
I can picture that.
Well, ask him his name.
No, go for it.
Aaron Neman.
Ah!
And lastly, you've got a Celtic one from 2010. He was up on loan from a London club, and it's his first name. His surname is something that you take a photograph with.
Oh, Kamara.
Yep, what's his first name?
Diomansi Kamara.
Diomansi Kamara. Thank you, Roger Hanna and Gordon Dalziel. We're back tomorrow from 6 with Mark Guidi and Jim Duffy. Callum Gallagher's up next, so stay where you are.
Clyde One Super Scoreboard with Thompson's Personal Injury Solicitors. Compensation. They know the score. Talk to Thompson's.com.